Draper City Talk is a podcast produced by the Municipal Government of Draper City, Utah, where we discuss local government services and issues and the community at large. Hello, Draper City. Mayor Troy Walker with you for another edition of our Draper City Talk podcast. And we have a great, great discussion for you today. Today, we're going to talk about UFOs and the aliens. I'm just kidding. We're not going to talk about that. I would love to talk about it sometime. So maybe if you make a request, we can have a podcast on that because it's certainly interesting. But we're going to have to talk about something a little more down to earth, but also interesting. I would like to introduce and thank our Linda Peterson. She's our Draper City Communications Director. Linda, say hello.
Hello.
Linda works really hard to put these together, and so we really appreciate all her good work. Our guest today is not an alien, but our Parks and Rec director. You could be one. I don't know. We think he's not an alien. Anyway, Mr. Red Ogden, he's our Draper City Parks and Recreation Director, and we're just going to have a discussion today about all the things that are going on in Draper City with respect to parks and recreation, because we have an amazing parks and an amazing program. So, Rhett, say hello.
Sounds great, Mayor. Appreciate you having me. Hello, everybody.
We've had Rhett on before, and we're glad to have him back. So, let's first talk about, I think, Friday 2 weeks ago. Has it been 2 weeks?
On Friday, it will be, yes.
On Friday, it'll be 2 weeks. So, I was out of town. I come home, get home this afternoon, Friday that afternoon, and I see these storm clouds brewing. And they're out there. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, that's a very dark-looking storm.
Yes.
Were you watching it from where you were?
I actually watched it come in, and I watched the amazing show Mother Nature put on as far as electrical storms. It was pretty neat. And then I got the call about 2 a.m. to come see what's going on.
I declared a state of emergency in the city. So what I'm talking about, folks, if you weren't here and you didn't hear about it, if you were in Draper, you wouldn't have to be told. You would have experienced it. But we had what was really the equivalent of a 400 to 500 year storm that hit our city, where we got 2.25 inches of water in under an hour. And I think in some estimations, it was about 37, 38 minutes that we had 2.25 inches come down on this city. So it was a major storm event, the biggest one we've ever had in our recorded history. One of the biggest storms I think they've had in Salt Lake County, so it was amazing.
It was amazing. The amount of water that came down in a short amount of time was incredible.
Yeah, and as we've talked about it, you know, our system is a 100-year system. So that means our system is designed to accommodate 1 inch of rainfall an hour at a max storm. This was 2.25 inches in under an hour. So think of a funnel that can handle X amount of water and double it. And I will say that even though we had extensive damage, and we're going to talk about this, we also had a whole bunch of water that storm system moved, most of it. You know, so I'm really glad it actually performed better than it was designed to perform. So,
yes.
Okay, let's talk about, though, weather impacts, because there was some significant weather. This storm impacted our trail system for sure and other parts. So give us a rundown on what you found after the storm.
Well, it did, Mayor, and I'd echo your comments. A lot of the city service staff was fantastic. Our public works department were out all night, our police officers and firefighters, and some of my staff were out all night, and it was just crazy. But we kind of woke up to a Friday morning and started assessing the damage. And at least as far as parks and recreation facilities go, some of our worst hit areas were in the South Mountain area, specifically South Fork Park was one of the worst. Basically, the whole South parking lot was just filled with mud. We had parts where the sidewalk buckled and it just came a gushing in. It rushed into one of the restrooms there and just really kind of pulverized the parking lot, which was a big cleanup. And then on the other side of the road, if you haven't seen it, it's still closed, but where it just jumped the storm drain, it just couldn't handle and it undercut about 6 feet right under the park road that goes from South Fork Park into Whedon Park, and that's still closed. It's going to be some extensive repair to fix the drains and get it engineered so that the vehicles can drive on the road again. So it was
Yeah, and the road crazy. We're talking about is when you come into South Fort Park, you're mm-hmm. coming off of Bangor Parkway.
Yep. Yep.
And you turn in and come into that park.
That park road. That road, right there.
The very northern lane edge of that road is destroyed.
Yes.
And it's not just a little bit. It's over the top of the asphalt and then back underneath it about 6 feet.
Yes.
Extensive damage. Yeah. I was surprising how much.
It's crazy. Damage. Pretty much all that was hanging there was a couple inches of asphalt.
Yeah. Yeah.
So scary that we actually had a few vehicles drive on it before it was discovered, and we hurried and got it closed down. But scary what could have happened.
Yeah. So we had that's an expensive piece. We don't have an estimate on that cost yet. The bathrooms and the mud, you were able to get cleaned up, I'm assuming.
Yeah, we cleaned all that up. Our staff went to work right away. We spent several days in different areas cleaning up.
Now let's talk about the trails. So, you know, I think I sent you some pictures when I was out riding on our paved trails. So Porter Rockwell, as it rises up heading south towards 132, let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you were actually the first information we had on that one. We'd been discovering a lot of properties, but thanks to Mayor Walker, we learned about that one, and we got it cleaned up the next day. But
yeah, we got to repair the asphalt there later this year.
Yes, yes.
If you're not aware, folks, if the water as it came essentially over 132 and then south on the actual trail itself, it eroded the edge of the trail, washed out.
It was about 4 feet down on the edge of the trail. Our staff has filled that in so that it's safe. We've reopened the trail, but we're still asking trail users to be careful in the area. We're asking them their signs to walk your bike for about that 50 feet. The asphalt is damaged on both sides, and in places there's only about 4 feet of asphalt between the damage. So we need to go slower there, walk your bike, and be careful. There's still some loose debris. But
then we had another one that if you call Porter Rockwell out and you go past Pluralsight and you cross that first bridge over Highland Drive. As you cross the bridge over Highland, there's a retaining wall there that kind of collapsed and put about 18 inches of material across our trail.
The retaining wall did fail, and yes, yeah, just south of 146 there, it was about a 50-foot swath as well of a foot to a foot and a half in places of dirt and mud and rocks and boulders, and it all had to be cleaned up. We're going to have to do some repair there. Not as extensive to the asphalt as at 132, but certainly.
Yeah, in Lehigh, if you follow that trail down into Lehigh, their underpass that goes under that road, I can't remember what it's called, that kind of goes by that big open pit area. Yeah. There's a tunnel for people to use that goes under the road. It was full of debris, like feet of it. They had extensive stuff too. But so we had damage. We have still stuff we're going to have to get fixed. And
we do. If you go up in the canyon.
Oh, yeah.
Coyote Hollow trailhead took quite a bit of damage. When we built that, you know, we built the channel with riprap that basically got filled in completely. We've recut that whole channel. Had a couple of mini X's and some equipment in there. We've recut it to try and be ready for the next storm. As you go up the canyon a little bit further, there's 12-foot deep ravines where there wasn't before the storm.
Like, yeah, I was riding up the road yesterday, out of the equestrian center, and all that area by Water Pros, you know, gates and head gates. It just cut a whole new path. I mean, it is amazing.
It's amazing when you see what Mother Nature and water can do. And it's certainly made a mess. And we're still cleaning it up. We found some more today, but we've had parts of Maple Hollow downhill, Maple Hollow South, other areas up in Suncrest that took some damage. So we're still getting it fixed, but certainly working hard to get it repaired.
We're getting closer to getting, well, we've got the houses off. The houses that collapsed a couple months ago.
Yes.
That were on top of Ann's and Clark's. And I'm proud to say the houses are now gone, and they're working on the debris. So we may have those trails open by the end of the summer.
That's our goal. We want to have everything completed before snow is the city's goal. So
folks, if you see something out there that you don't think we know about on a trail that's been damaged by that storm, take a picture. Send it to our Parks and Rec director, our Parks and Rec department, and we'll look into it. So
please do, that'd be helpful.
Let's go on to a couple other things that people want to hear about current projects. Let's talk about, we've got our Parks, Trails, Recreation Master Plan. Let's talk a bit about what that is, why we need it, and where we are with it.
This is a project that's about 2 years in the making since we first started. It's taken a little while, but basically, Mayor, as you know, a Parks, Trails, and Recreation Master Plan is just a guiding document for the next 12 to 15 years for Draper City. It encompasses a lot, but it really gets to the heart of what the residents want. We had several different committees, youth committees, trail committee, recreation committees, you know, citizen advocate committees that we took input from. Of course, our Parks, Trails, and Recreation committees had a lot of input. We had a steering committee. We had a committee about the point that we met with them to kind of get a vision of how the point's going to affect Draper City. So a lot of information. We had a couple surveys, some scientific surveys that our consultants did so that they're scientifically factual, and really just taking the pulse of the residents of what they want to see as far as parks, trails, rec programs, the future of the city, what we're doing well, what needs to improve, what facilities we want, what we have enough of. So it really gets to the heart of what residents want and kind of wraps all that up in a nice bow that we've been working with our consultant to present just a guiding document for the next, say, 12 or 15 years. The last one that Draper City approved was in 2008. So
been a while.
Draper's different since
when's the council going to get to see this finally, do you think?
Well, it got approved by the Parks, Trails, and Recreation Committee at the first of the month in August. It's going to the Planning Commission the end of August this month. And if all goes well there, then it'll be before you and the City Council in September next
month.
So
if you're interested in seeing what that master plan is going to look like, and we got a lot of input, we had you had people over to look, surveys, so it's a good handle on what Draper citizens want in their parks and rec. So that's coming up. Look forward to looking into it. Yeah, look on our website. And we will have
that up
as soon as the council hears it and approves it. It'll be available. You can also comment in the meeting when they're hearing about it.
Certainly.
And add some more input to it. So if it's important to you, you know, let us know what you think. If once you read it, see what, if you want to add something to it, or we're happy to take more comment on it. So let's talk about, we bought a building over there, over by our fire department on 123rd, kind of behind it. That's a Parks and Rec building.
It is.
But you did something really cool there. Let's talk about that.
We did.
Conservation garden.
It is a conservation demonstration garden. And the intent there was when we bought the building and all the Parks and Recreation Department operations, all the offices, and that's where people come to sign up for football,
that's
baseball,
where your office
basketball.
Is.
That's where my office is now. Yeah, everybody moved out of City Hall to make room. And so we now have Parks and Rec offices over on just behind 123 and 8th East. But instead of just doing a, you know, typical
landscape
yard and stuff, we've been working a lot with Jordan Valley, and we've been doing classes in the, you know, with the public to try and educate people on how to do some water wise and local scapes. So we thought it'd be fun to do a demonstration garden. So we turned our whole front and back part of the office into a demonstration garden. So this is a place where residents can come and get ideas about how to landscape their yard using water-wise techniques and the local scape approach. We got a grant from Jordan Valley Water Conservation District to do this project. So if you come, you'll see lots of different colors of rocks, how it integrates with the landscape, several different plants that are all low water use. You'll see how the irrigation systems use low water efficiency, so they're not just spraying everywhere, but
drip irrigation,
drips and bubblers and that type of stuff. We've got some other fun things like some rain gardens, some water barrels of how you can capture the irrigation from your roof and your roof lines and capture that and reuse it. So there's lots of information. It's all finished except for the signage. We're still waiting for that to come in. There'll be a lot of signs. There'll even be a QR code by every plant, so if you're interested in putting that in your house, you can just scan that QR code, and it'll tell you all about it, what it looks like in different parts.
When do you think you'll have it open? Are we going to do a ribbon cutting on it? Or?
Yeah, as soon as the signs come in, we'll get the signs hung up real quick. You could drive by and see the landscaping right now, but it'll look a lot more finished and neater when we get the signage up, hopefully.
So, folks, this is, again, down the road of conservation. Now, we had a tremendously wet year last year, grateful for it. But it doesn't mean anything other than we still keep conserving.
Right.
You know, you look at the recent stuff in St. George and how it's really become acute. They're looking at limiting development because of the water situation. We're not far behind. And all we can do to conserve water is wise and smart to do.
Exactly.
Like I said, I've had people say to me, the drought's not real. We got all this water. The drought's real. We may not be in drought legally in the term, but why should we waste water? I mean, that's really the point. And so we decided to bring in a garden here to Draper. So if you really want to change your landscaping, you don't have to drive over to Jordan Valley's gardens.
Right.
Although you should, because they're amazing, and you can get even more ideas. But this will give you a chance right here in town to come see how drip irrigation works, kind of plants. I can tell you, we just completed our yard. We are grass-free. Backyard, front yard, all of it. And it's been awesome to do. I did some of it with my own back, which I don't recommend, especially not if you're my age. But to have this park, my front yard, all I have to do is go out every couple of days and pull a few weeds.
I don't have
to mow it. I don't have to blow it. I don't have to trim it.
No water, no fertilizer.
No fertilizer. It's fantastic. And it looks great. I mean, it's mulch and plants. For our green space, we have clover, so I have all the bees just come. I had no idea how awesome it could be to have a yard. I wish I'd have done it, you know, 20 years ago.
Right.
Instead of paying the landscaper I had cut my lawn for 15 years and however much he was charging me, I could have just put this in and saved time, money, and water, most importantly.
That's true. And one thing that's neat about this conservation garden that we've done for a demonstration is we tried to show how you could do your house. And the front yard is more like you'd see a residential landscape. It even has some artificial turf, which looks great. But again, no water, no fertilizer, no mowing, no edging. In the back, there is a little bit of sod. And we're not saying that you have to be 100% sod-free, but if you can really cut down the amount of sod and the amount of water, that's what we're looking for. So there is a little bit of sod, but we also showed how you can have activity zones. And we even have some games set up for demonstration of how you can have activities in your backyard with some of the hard pack and stuff that we've put down that doesn't require water.
Yeah, get your Saturdays back. Localscape your yard and get more free time. That's what I say.
Yeah, well, come check it out.
Let's go on and talk about the Willow Creek Trail Extension. Tell us about that.
This is a really neat project we're excited about. As everybody knows, trails are very important in Draper, and we're always looking for some connections. So this is a key connection that will connect a lot of the north-south traffic on the west side of town. So if you picture from 114th, there's a gap between 114th and the Big Willow Trail that's already paved and in. It's kind of there in the middle with no way to get to it. So this is a very key connection that will connect 114th south, going south to Big Willow. So we're hoping this will be done within the next month. It'll be great to get into Big Willow, and then that takes you into where Jensen Farms area is being developed, and we have plans to finish that trail in the future, which will be another good gap filler because we have the Galena Loop Trail on the other side of that. So once we get those two pieces in, we'll have a great connection from 114 south all the way to 123rd south on a paved trail, which you could then go from hop on Galena Park and use the connector we did there down to the
Jordan
River Trail and go forever or make a nice loop. So it's a great connector it's not real long, but at least gets us connected to the Big Willow that's already in and paved and ready to use.
And these paved trails are just as important to myself and the council as the mountain trails.
Sure.
I mean, in some ways, I think they're maybe more important because, you know, you talk about the connection to the Jordan River Trail. Jordan River Trail, you know, is an amazing piece of infrastructure. So is the Port of Rockwell. I mean, mm-hmm. Port of Rockwell goes all the way down to Lehigh. You can live in Lehigh and ride that trail to work in Draper or vice versa, and people are doing it.
Sure.
Not as many as hopefully will start to come, but I went biking last Saturday with Mayor Johnson from Lehigh, and we rode Murdoch Trail. I meet him down there by the bridge, and we rode all the way down to the new temple site, and I think it's American Fork or Spanish American Fork. It wouldn't be Spanish Fork down.
Saratoga Springs.
No, on the west side. I want to say it's American Fork, where the temple. Anyway,
in Linden.
Yeah, it's the Murdoch Condrell Trail. If you haven't been on that one, it's fantastic. But our trail, our Port of Rockwell Trail, ties right into that trail.
It does.
And so will this trail tie into the Jordan River Trail. So you'll be able to, you know, if you're a biker and you don't want to deal with the texting murderous drivers, you can ride these trails.
Absolutely.
And not deal with cars.
That's what they're there for.
Yep. Better safety, more recreation, better opportunities, better living, healthier people. That's the goal. Okay, let's talk about the Zuropa Bike Trail Extension.
This is it's a pretty simple project, but one we've been looking forward to for a while. We have some awesome downhill flow trails in Draper. People come from all over the country to ride them. We've heard since we've opened this one that it's just not quite what it could be, Mayor. You've been on it yourself. You know that there's some uphill. You have to do more pedaling than some want. So the intent there is we're doing just a kind of a little makeover, more of a reroute, making it more flow-friendly. So we'll cut out some of the portions where you have to pedal uphill, and it'll be just more of a true downhill flow trail, kind of a beginner to intermediate trail, but it's very easy to ride. It'll be that wider.
So it all ends up at the bottom of Vertico and Levitate, but it's not the same trail. You're not taking big jumps. There's not flying.
Right.
Huge gap jumps and tabletops. This is more of a beginning.
It's not Levitate or anything, exactly.
It'll give you a chance if you want to go experience a downhill side to go experience it without having to commit yourself to hospital stays and an emergency room.
Yeah, visits. And the bottom half trail will about remain the same as it is. It's just the top half that
Will the uphill portion still be available if you want to take it?
We're still looking at options for that to see how to best manage that part.
It's got some nice views around the top of the knoll. Yeah. So, all right, let's talk about Deer Ridge Trail Extension.
Really excited about this one. I was up there today meeting with the contractors, and it's looking great. They're doing well. We're ahead of schedule. So it's nice to have a project that's keeping on time. This new facility, Mayor, is going to be fantastic for residents and really everyone that comes visit this site. As you know, Deer Ridge is a very popular area for people to come to play with their dogs off leash, and you see people up there every day with their dogs, and it's a great area. It's very popular, very heavily used, where people are coming with their dogs, and once you get past the gate, you're allowed to have them off leash and throw your ball or frisbee or run with them and not be restricted to a leash. So it's fantastic, but as we've seen, it gets heavily used. So again, kudos to the mayor.
What are we doing? We explain what the contractor's doing.
Well, we're putting in a parking lot where there was none. We're now going to have a nice paved parking lot with, I forget the total number of stalls, but between 30 and 40 new paved stalls. We'll have flushing toilets with running water, so that'll be very nice in the area. We've got some water fountains, and we had to search, but we've got the water fountains that'll have the doggy bowls on the bottom, the water bottle filler, which we know are popular now, on the side, and then your standard bubbler bib for drinking out of, so it'll be nice to.
So this one will have the ability to fill the water bottle without holding trying to catch the
yes
the arcing drinking fountain water.
Yep, you have a standard water bottle filler, and then again one for your dog as well down on the bottom. It'll have a couple picnic shelters, some great views, but it'll give you access to all the off leash trails. We'll make some new ones also.
Fully improved trailhead. What we're talking
yes.
about.
Yep,
just like you find a peak view, like
yep.
you find
same type of thing. Instead of a porta potty and some concrete barriers and a chain, it'll be a very nice trail.
It's gonna be exciting. I think people are gonna like it. And I think we've got to be one of the few cities in the valley, if not the state, that has three dog parks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's
really nice.
We have proven our friendliness to canine.
Yes.
So yeah, that's a cool one too, because that's a mountain off leash park.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can still go for a walk up there if you don't have a dog. You don't have to have a dog, but it is an off-leash dog area. You're allowed to have a bike on certain parts up there, and we're going to be making some new trails once we get the trailhead in. So lots of neat things to come for that area.
Exciting. So if you haven't been up there to Deer Ridge, put it on your calendar maybe next summer or next spring. When do you think it will be done?
It should be done late summer.
Okay. We'll put it on your calendar for late summer then.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Late summer, early fall, however you want to call it, but should get in some good time this year.
You know, again, I my hat's off to our city council in this respect, because
for sure,
when we bought this land, 12, 13 years ago, we bought 2,500 acres. I was a council member at the time. I wasn't the mayor, but I voted for this, and we spent $5.6 million, and we didn't even ask the taxpayers. We just did it. We all figured, well, we might get voted out, but it was too good of a deal to pass up. And
it's fantastic.
Of course, we paid it off, but to see this piece of trail, because this was one of the sections when we bought that land that we fully intended to put homes on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can just tell you, if you would have talked to me at that moment we were making that deal, we had fully intended that that would have a whole bunch of houses on it. And it's an improved road.
It has makes sewer. Sense you would feel like that, because it does have water and sewer already in place.
So it does.
It makes perfect sense for development.
But as you, but as we got looking at the open space and how it all developed, it made more sense to just keep this mm-hmm. as a jewel. And it is. No, very many places you can take your dog and hike up to the top and have a view of both counties.
No.
Utah Lake, on a good day, the Great Salt Lake. I mean, it's amazing.
It is. It is one of the best views you'll have. And again, kudos to you and all the city council for saving that from development.
It was money well spent. Now let's talk futuristic disc golf course. What's the status of that?
Well, we don't have any disc golf courses in Draper, and we get asked a lot about it. There's not a whole lot on the south end of Salt Lake County. So we had an opportunity come, and we've got some land down by the Jordan River that the city owns, but it's under a conservation easement. It's actually managed by an arm of the federal government, and there's not a lot that we can do with the land, so it just sits there. But we did approach them, and we got permission that a disc golf course was something that the conservation easement allowed for that type of recreation. So it's not going to be improved much, but it will have an 18-hole disc golf course that we're having professionally designed by a consultant who's really neat. It's going to be a really neat disc golf course. We got a grant from the state outdoor recreation to help pay for it. So it is going to consist of some tee pads and then, you know, a basket for each hole and some little walking paths. But largely it'll let the land remain undisturbed except for the few hole areas. But it's a really great opportunity to get people out and recreate and walk and play a game that's just really surging in popularity.
I'm a terrible golfer. I mean, I am no golfer. I mean, I like to do it, but I suck at it.
I like to as well, but I'm certainly no good.
But I got to ask you, is it easier to play frisbee golf than real golf?
Well, you would think so, but it definitely does take some skill. And when you watch some of these guys actually know what they're doing, to see the way they can command their frisbee and get it to draw right or left or rise or, you know, and there are different, just like there's different clubs, there's different frisbees with different sizes and different weights, and it takes some skill. So you're going to
enjoy it. I'm going to go out on a limb. I suspect I'll suck just as bad at that as I do regular golf, but I can't wait to try.
We can go out for a round and suck together.
Yeah, yeah. And do you lose the frisbees like I do golf balls, which is consistently
not
time.
As easy.
Yeah. That'll be fun. That'll be interesting to see. All right, what else have we got on the horizon?
Well, we've got several things we keep working on. We're all but finished with our brand new pickleball courts. Pickleball has just been so popular.
Oh, yeah, that's Big Willow Park.
It's at South Fork.
South Fork Park.
Yeah, we had six there, and they're just booked solid with play all the time, so we put six more. They all have lights, so they're open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day.
So we have 12 courts.
There's 12 courts at South Fork now. See, we just finished the six. We just planted the new sod, so just a few minor landscaping things. But the courts are open. They opened last week to the public. They're ready for play, and then they're getting used a lot already.
So if you're a pickleballer, which apparently a lot of folks are, haven't tried it yet, but I'm looking forward to that too. I have a court in my own house, my own yard, that I think I can convert, and we're looking at doing it. But so if you're a pickleballer and you want to come play, how does someone reserve a court?
Well, they're actually not reservable. They're first come, first serve. And when there are people waiting, we have a paddle rack system where you kind of reserve your spot in line for a court.
Okay.
And it's really kind of neat to watch when people follow the rules. When they're done, they vacate, and the next paddle up takes the court, and then they play. And then there's just a big rotation, so you're not sitting very long. That's when there's a wait.
Have we done some tournaments there yet already, or do you intend to do some, like
we
Draper
have.
Days or that time of year?
We've had a Draper Days tournament for the last several years. This year it was huge. It sold out pretty quick, and we had our recreation manager did a great job with it. Mark, he had men's, he had women's, he had mixed doubles. It was a fantastic tournament. So we plan to have more. We've had some junior tournaments. We had a junior pickleball league that the city offered that that filled up pretty quick and was neat to see. So you're right, lots of people playing pickleball.
So if you're interested, if you want to get your kids into playing pickleball, join our city league. Mm-hmm. Come out, learn how to play. It's a fun opportunity. Again, you go to our city website, our Parks and Rec section of it, and find all the information out.
Yep.
We got some marathons coming up. We have the 5K and the 10K marathon coming up.
Yeah, on September 23rd, we've got our third now. It's hard to believe it's the third year, but we have our Corner Canyon Half Marathon in conjunction with Half Marathon. We have the 5K and the 10K all the same day. So we'll have several hundred runners out there. It's not too late to sign up. The deadline goes till September 5th, so if you would like to participate in any of those three races, we'd encourage you to.
So if you're a mountain runner, come out and try out Corner Canyon.
That's why people like this one. You know, there's a bunch of half marathons all over on the pave or flat land, but this is one where you actually get to do some trail running. You have some inclines, some downhills. You get to go across the fantastic suspension bridge across Bear
awesome.
Canyon. And
yeah.
So it's one of the best half marathons around, in my opinion.
Well, as we you know, continue to look to the future, we're always looking for ways. We're gonna take the input we get off this master plan from the citizens, try and make Canadian. We've got a big park that's going to go in on the Jensen Farm development. It's
yep.
an amazing plan. It's going to really be a fantastic park. It's on the books.
Neat.
We're starting it as soon as we can.
Phase one's getting the construction documents right now, so we can bid it out this winter, and we should start construction early spring next year on phase one of that.
So if you live on that side of the city, the phase one, like I say, we're hoping have a bid out in the spring, and we're working on it. So it's one of our goals to make the best Parks and Rec department. I think we have as good a Parks and Rec as anybody. I don't think you can say anything, but we have unique mountain trail running, pickleball like crazy. We've got softball tournaments, kickball tournaments. You know.
Got it all. For my money, I can't think of a city that offers more than Draper. And
do the Frisbees cost as much as a sleeve of golf balls? Do we know that? Because trying to get an idea of how many I'm going to need to buy.
They are an investment for your first purchase, but you shouldn't have to keep purchasing over and over like you do golf balls.
You think. That's what you say. Yeah. Yeah. But, it's been great talking. I'm glad you're here working for us. And you guys did a great job at Draper Days. Your staff
they did.
Really stepped up. And just folks, in case you're wondering, the biggest Draper Days we've ever recorded.
Oh, it's huge.
We have some data that we've got, some real live mm-hmm. data that we're going to hopefully be able to share soon. It's amazing. It is kind of amazing that you can be tracked that closely.
It is.
This private company, not the government, not us, but we've got some info.
Disclaimer.
That this Draper Days was really one of the most, you know, like over 35 or 6,000 people between the 2 days in our park. Your staff worked their tails off, you know, did a great job.
It did. When you get thousands of people in a park all at once, just the amount of garbage that
And you brought in some good talent. I mean, we had Diamond Rio this year. We had the Salamanders, which, you know, I kind of like to have them back. And
they were fantastic.
Absolutely. Cole Hartley was great.
Was great. You know, everybody that performed was awesome. We had a great stage and just a great time to celebrate as a community.
Yeah, we're devising who we're going to invite next year, but
we've
got a few ideas. We may have Salamanders maybe back. We liked them. Anyway, well, thanks, Rhett. It's great talking to you. Linda, do you have anything to add?
Rhett also manages the Draper Amphitheater, which is a beautiful venue that has programming all throughout the summer. So if you haven't been out to Draper Amphitheater, there's always good entertainment there during the summertime.
Yeah. Give us a concert lineup for the rest of the year, if you could.
We have multi-Grammy-nominated artist coming in from Nashville, Ingrid Andress.
That's
going to
be a good show.
There are a few tickets left, not many. It will sell out before the date, so if you're interested and you're hearing this before, get them now. But she'll be here to kind of wrap up the summer, and then we'll go to work on getting everything ready for next summer's lineup.
And folks, if you haven't been to the Amphitheater, Linda's right. It's a cool little event center. It's not huge, but it's cozy, and there's not a bad seat in the place. And the music's good, and it's a nice little gem that we have.
It's a great place to see a play or a production or a concert. We've had all sorts of things up there, so come check it out.
Check our website. You can also find information out about what's going on at the amphitheater, but that's another part of your job other than, I mean, you do everything from weed in the flower beds to Draper Days concerts to the amphitheater. So Rhett's got a lot of work.
We do, but
a lot of responsibility. So we're glad to have you. You've been with us how long now?
Well, let's see. At the end of the year, it'll be 15 years.
Yeah, almost as long as I have. So, yeah, that's good. Well, we're glad to have you, and thank you again for – please thank your staff, too, for –
I will. I'll pass that along. And thank you, Mary, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to talk with you guys.
All right. And, folks, next time we're going to talk about the UFOs.
If anyone has personal experience, reach out.
We're looking for people that have personal experience. We want to hear from you. Thank you. And, again, it's Draper Talk. Mayor Troy Walker, have the rest of a great summer.
For timely information on city news, events, traffic alerts, and public safety emergencies, you may subscribe to email or text notifications from Draper City by visiting draperutah.gov/notify. Or follow us on social media at Draper City Utah on Facebook and at Draper City on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. This has been Draper City Talk. Please join us again.